All right, great. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Daniel chapter 10, and let's pray while you guys are finding your way there. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for understanding spiritual warfare. And we thank you, God, for how you're going to give us further understanding in Daniel chapter 10. God, right now in this room, there are many that are going through spiritual battle. There are some that don't know they're going through spiritual battle, and today they're going to figure that out when they see behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. There are others that know very much they are in spiritual battle and they know what's going on. But Lord, either way, I pray that you would educate all of us, because if we're not in a battle right now, we will be. That's a part of the believer's life. And Lord, you've given us warfare to grow us and make us more like you. So Father, pour out your spirit. Give us a greater understanding of spiritual battle and minister to your flock today by the power of your spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, when we look at Scripture, guys, there's a lot of spiritual warfare, a lot about spiritual warfare that we don't understand. There's a lot that we do understand. There's a lot that we don't understand. I think all of us know about Ephesians chapter 6. We know about how to put on the full armor of God. We know that we need to do that to stand, and you know, so that when the enemy comes, we're ready to be able to stand through the midst of the battle. But we also oftentimes need to go on offense. And so when we do that, that comes through prayer. When we see there's something that needs to be done, whether it's in our life, someone else's life, maybe the life of the church. And that's what today's going to be about. We're going to see Daniel going on offense, if you will, because it's not just about standing against the enemy. Daniel's now in a place to where he sees that he needs to battle the enemy. And when, you know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, Paul also tells us there in Ephesians chapter 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. And that is, our battle is not against people. Sometimes it may feel like it is, but it's not. It's against principalities in heavenly places. And that's where the warfare takes place. Again, we see a lot of spiritual warfare happen in many areas. We see a lot of spiritual warfare happening today in politics. Many of you are called to that arena, and praise the Lord if you're called to that. I think we're called to different things. But the bottom line is that a lot of things that are happening, even in the political realm, you find yourself very frustrated when you're trying to, again, get support or work on something or push something through, because it's more than just fighting people. You're fighting a spiritual battle. And that's why it seems like it takes such a long time and such a strain and such a fight. I think of all the years of praying about Roe versus Wade and how many years it took to finally get that overturned. That was a spiritual battle. And so when it comes to spiritual fights, we realize they don't always happen overnight. And that's why Paul not only says that we wrestle not against people, flesh and blood, but principalities, that is the heavenly realm, the fallen angels. That's who we're wrestling against. But it's a wrestling that we do. That's why sometimes it takes a long time to get the victory. You know, I kind of, when it comes to spiritual battle, when you think about being in a ring and using that example that Paul gave us here, I'd rather think about, I wish that prayer was a lot like, SmackDown, Friday Night SmackDown. I wish that's what it was, where, you know, the Lord comes from the top ring and boom, you know, and it's done. We're over. It's finished, right? Carry the belt around. The enemy's defeated, okay? But really, to be honest with you, most of the time, the spiritual battle that some of you are in right now, whether you know it or not, is not the kind where he comes from the top, you know, rope and wipes out the enemy. It is locked arm in arm in wrestling and spiritual battle with the enemy. It's like the high school or the college wrestling where you see the arms lock, every muscle tightens in the body, and you're waiting on the other person to make a wrong move or to weaken. And as soon as you find that opening, you go for the kill and take them down for the count, so to speak. That's exactly what happens in the spiritual battle. Now, the good news is we know that God always wins. And God is the one that's truly fighting the battle, but we engage in the battle through prayer. And that is why prayer is oftentimes difficult. That is why prayer oftentimes feels like it's a struggle at a battle. I know you experience the same things. Sometimes I pray and it seems so easy and there's just worship. This is great, Lord, what a great time with you. And other times I pray and I feel like, good grief, I'm giving birth to something. It's like this battle, and there's these contractions, and why is nothing happening? And this is so hard, and this is painful. Nothing's happening at all, and there's this battle's going back and forth. It's because there's a spiritual battle going on behind the scenes, and God is allowing that. You know, it's interesting when you think, why didn't God just defeat the enemy every time right away when we pray? Because God wants to grow us, and the way that we grow is through battle. Again, one of the main ways we grow, and there's multiple ways we grow as believers, but battle is one of the ways that we grow. After World War II, they called that generation the greatest generation. You know why? It wasn't because they were greater people than every other group, every other generation throughout history. It's because they had developed so much character through battle and courage and honor and respect and understanding of authority and all these things that were happening. They were a very, mature and a great generation because of that. And what developed that in them? It was battle. And understand, when God is going to do the same thing in you, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to have to teach you through battle. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, after 40 years in the wilderness, the first generation died away. And they had experienced battle, but this generation hadn't. And God told them, one of the reasons I'm going to leave part of your enemies in the land, I'm going to leave them there because this generation has not experienced battle. And you think, wow, God wants me to go to battle? Why didn't God just win everything? Because that, again, is how we grow. It's through that battle. So Daniel here has grown through spiritual battle. He's going to continue to grow through spiritual battle. And that's how God grows us in this whole battle, this locking up with the enemy, if you will, and learning to persevere. And this is what Daniel has to do. He has to persevere. And some of you this morning, you need to persevere. And what God is telling you is don't give up. You're locked in battle. You're going to see today, God heard you the moment you began to pray, but it doesn't always come right away. There's a reason for that, and we'll get into that more as we get into the teaching here. But notice here, again, when we look at what's happening, we're about 5 years later than where we were last week. Okay? Daniel was about 3 years out from them going back at the end of the captivity. Now, in today's setting, they have gone back. That is the remnant that went back in the first wave after the 70 years of captivity in Babylon. They've gone back, and they've been there for 2 years. While they went back for those 2 years, they started laying the foundation for the temple, to rebuild the temple, but they face all this opposition. The people of the land around them are holding things up. They can't get their permitting to go through, you might say. And yet, it wasn't a battle against the local NPC or the city council of Jerusalem. It was a spiritual battle. And Daniel recognized this is not people we're fighting against. This is the demonic realm we're fighting against. And I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek God for my people for there to be a breakthrough. And Daniel had that spiritual understanding. Daniel had that insight, and Daniel said, now I'm going to battle. Isn't it great to realize that even Daniel's probably in his 90s by now, probably somewhere right around 90 years old. Isn't it great to know that you can still go to battle at 90 years old? You know, I mean, again, a lot of people think when they get really old, they think, you know what, God's going to be through with me. I can't really do physical things at the church anymore. I can't be behind a pulpit or leading some ministry or whatever the case might be. This is going to be one of Daniel's greatest victories in all of his life. And it's going to come when he's a man around 90 years old that doesn't have a lot of strength and energy like he used to when he was young. Don't ever think you're too old to be used. Your prayer life in your later years has power in heaven. And we're going to see that Daniel simply calling out to God stirs the forces of heaven, and these mighty angels begin to do battle in the heavenlies because of this 90-year-old man praying in his home. That just blows me away. And we're going to get into that more in detail as we jump into this, but that's the setting here. And so, again, this is why I think we need to understand spiritual opposition, and we need to be ready for that battle. And by the way, note this, for the Christian in the spiritual battle, there is no retirement. I want you to know that. Daniel's very old at this point. He could have thought, you know what, I'm going to get an RV, travel Babylon. And there's nothing wrong in vacation. There's nothing, I get all that. But even if you get the RV and travel the nation, I guarantee you the spiritual battle is going to go with you. Why? Because whether you want to be in battle or not, you're in the battle. You're in the army. And whether you choose to fight, the enemy's coming after you. And the sooner we learn that regardless of whether we fight or not, we're in the fight. It's almost like being thrown into the ring and everybody's punching you. You say, well, I'm not going to fight. Well, you're going to stand there, get beaten to death, and figure out I better put up my dukes. Or this is going to just get worse and worse and worse, because you need to learn to fight and you need to learn to do battle, because you're in the battle whether you like it or not. Now, that's the good news is you're saved and Jesus loves you. The bad news is there's a fight coming up, right? So be ready for the fight. And it's not really bad news. Again, God uses it to grow us. But Daniel here realizes there's no retirement. The battle continues on. And even in old age, Daniel's going to be doing warfare and going to be doing battle. And that's what we take up here in verse 1 of chapter 10. Notice what happens. It says, and in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message, and he understood the vision. Again, notice God wanted him to understand these prophetic visions, and God gave him the understanding, even as he does to us. And it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now notice Daniel here wasn't on a complete fast. There are different kinds of fasts that go on. Daniel, here it says, didn't eat any pleasant food or any meats or that kind of thing, or pleasant drink. It says here he just was having probably vegetables again, kind of what he had done in the past, etc. And the reason he was doing this, again, is Daniel was trying to weaken his human side. You know, no Dunkin' Donuts, no Krispy Kreme for 3 weeks, right? I'm going to lay this aside, not a complete fast, but I'm going to lay these things aside so that I can get more in tune with the Spirit. And understand, this is what a fast is all about. A fast is not to twist the arm of God so that we can make God do what we want. A fast is to weaken the human side of us. The Bible calls it the fleshly side, so that we can strengthen the spiritual side. And as we strengthen the spiritual side and don't feed or take care of the flesh as much, then what happens is we get stronger in spirit and we get more in tune with God. You know, there's a saying out there, and again, we're a society that's focused on self, and I do believe all of us need breaks. There's nothing wrong with vacation, and we all like that time just to get quiet and breathe a little bit, but we've probably all heard the whole, wording, it's a little bit of me time or whatever the thing might be, right? The problem is that I think our society is so focused on me time, we never really focus in where it should be, and that is the time. Time on the Lord, focus on Jesus Christ. That's where it has to be. And what we do is when we lay down the me time and all the things that we're seeking and all the things that we want and pampering ourselves or whatever our goal is, and we say, God, I'm going to seek you. It's learning to lay aside the fleshly desires. It's learning to lay aside our pleasures for the moment. It's learning to put all that aside and say, God, I need to be in tune with you. I need to get connected to a different realm than just people, than flesh. I've got to get into the spirit realm. That's where Daniel's going to go today. He's going to go into the spirit realm. We're going to see the spirit realm interacting with Daniel because he's denying the flesh. And when you deny the flesh, you get more in tune with the spirit. And I'm not going to say that everybody that goes on a fast is going to have a heavenly vision, all right? The Bible doesn't say that. Daniel's certainly going to, a rather dramatic one we'll see here in just a moment. But the reality is, when you weaken the flesh and focus on the Spirit, you are going to be more in tune. You are going to hear God more. You are going to see God move in greater ways in your life as you do that. And this is what Daniel, again, is stepping into. Now, again, when it comes to different fasts, again, there's a complete fast, which is you have no food, no water. That's obviously a limited fast due to the human nature of the fact we could die. There's partial fast, which is what Daniel is on here, denying himself the pleasurable things of life and just seeking God and just the basics. There's short-term fast, there's long-term fast, but again, the goal is always the same, to get in tune with the spirit realm so that we can hear God and have and find out what's going on and make our request to God and to know what God wants us to do, especially as we're doing battle, as Daniel's about to do for his people there in Israel. And notice it also says that during this time, at the end of verse 3, he didn't anoint himself with any oil. Now, what's he talking about here? Again, they used oil in that day the same way we use lotion. Now, again, you think, why would Daniel be putting on lotion? He's a man, right? Men don't need lotion, right, etc. Here's the bottom line. Look, if you live in the middle of the desert and you've got dry conditions, always your skin gets very crackly and dry, and it's not a pleasant thing. So they would put a little bit of oil on to keep their skin from cracking and not to be so unpleasant. Daniel says, I'm going to deny what my inner man wants in his eating, right? And I'm also going to deny what my outer man wants, even in his flesh, so that as I suffer, I can realize this doesn't matter. I'm going to allow this to get my focus on the Spirit. And every time I'm suffering in a fleshly way, I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to pray to the Lord. And that was Daniel's heart. And again, that's one of the advantages of fasting, is so we can really focus in on what the Lord has for us, apart from the things of the flesh or in these bodies. So notice what happens when after he's prayed now, these 3 weeks he's been seeking God. Look at verse 4. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Wow! What an amazing vision Daniel gets. So notice, while Daniel here is by the Tigris, he has this supernatural visitation. Now, again, we're going to see in just a moment, he had some other men with him, and these men are going to freak out and run. We'll see that in just a moment because of this vision. But again, notice the description of this angel. It's rather amazing. It says he was clothed in linen, that is this heavenly garment. He was girded in the gold of Uphaz, which was the purest and best gold known in that day. So the best way that he knows how to describe what he's seeing, he's doing. He had a body like beryl in color. Again, you see different colors when you look up beryl as to what it was, but it seems the most consistent. It's kind of like an aqua kind of blue, kind of like these little these little places on our floor here. These squares down the middle of the aisle is kind of like a barrel color. So he's in this kind of beautiful barrel color. He has a face like lightning. Now, guys, try to picture this. We've all seen lightning strikes. And you know when it strikes and holds for a minute, and you see that bright, you're like, whoa, right? This angel's face was staying that way. It was just this vibrant, white, bright, whoa, as he's staring at it. He goes on and said he has eyes like fire. And don't think about kind of like demonic red eyes like we see. This angel would have been beautiful. This would have been glorious. It would have been no doubt a different color and this kind of like a torch like fire, just beautiful radiance of red or whatever coming from his eyes or whatever color he's trying to describe here. Notice his arms and his feet of burnished bronze in color, that is shiny bronze and beautiful and well, you know, polished. No doubt underneath all the robe and all, seeing what's being exposed. And a voice like a multitude. It tells us in other places that when God speaks, it's like the voice of many waters. So imagine Niagara Falls in your mind, that sound of the big waterfall. Imagine a multitude of voices. As one person speaks, it's all these voices at one time. You know, it's with modern technology and some of the movies and whatever, maybe you can imagine a little bit better. But Daniel didn't have that. And all of a sudden, there it is. Boom, Daniel sees his vision, and he's blown away by it. Now, again, some believe this may very well be because of the description and how similar it is to a Revelation when Jesus appears to John. Some believe this may actually be the Lord. If it is the Lord, then he steps away very quickly and a new angel takes his place. And why do I say that? Because we're going to see in just a moment, this angel is delayed because the demonic realm has held him up. Now, no demon is going to hold up Jesus. So whether or not Jesus was there and then left and a new angel came in, I don't know. I tend to believe it's the same angel and not the Lord. But either way, when you think about this description of the angels, how awesome are the angels? Again, this is an amazing thing. Now, again, they take on human form. We see that in Scripture. So the Bible says sometimes you entertain angels unaware. So that maybe you've had angels to dinner and didn't even know it. These kind of things happen. God has his reasons for these things. But the reality is when they're in their true form, they're pretty awesome beings. And they're really rather amazing in how they work. And again, so he's seeing this vision here. And notice what happens here in verse 7. It says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision." Here's why. "For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength." Now, again, notice this. Daniel is the only one that remains. Everybody else freaks out and runs. Why was Daniel able to remain? Why was Daniel able to see this? What would have been very awesome, but fearful again until you figured it out? Because Daniel was walking in the Spirit. Daniel was in tune with God, and Daniel realized this is a supernatural thing that God is doing. I recognize God in this, and Daniel wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to see what God was doing. And again, this really brings up something that God put on my heart this week as I was studying this, and that is how many of us miss so much because we fear the supernatural when it comes to God. Daniel's friends freaked out. God would have shown them a great vision like he was showing Daniel. You notice when Daniel's describing it, he goes, "This was a great vision." Just talking about the angel, the awesomeness of this angel when he saw it, and that they freaked out and they ran because they were afraid. And I think, how much do we miss because we fear the supernatural? Listen, some of you this morning may right now have a fear of the supernatural and you don't even realize it. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe in the past you grew up in a certain environment or maybe even a church environment where you saw a lot of the things that were said to be supernatural, but they seemed to be kind of odd to you and it kind of scared you away and you didn't understand it. You didn't really want to be a part of it. God wants you not to fear the supernatural because you're going to miss so much that God wants you to see and so much that God wants you to know and so much that God wants you to experience. Remember, we talked about Moses. When God called Moses to go down to Egypt, he said, "Moses, I've called you. You're my man, but you're going to need tools. You're going to need the ability to go down there and serve. One is you're going to be able to, even leprosy, maybe put his hand in, you'll be able to bring leprosy on and off." He said, the God of Pharaoh is a serpent. You're going to have power over their gods. I want you to know that. Throw down your rod. He throws his rod down. It becomes a serpent, like Pharaoh's serpent, probably the cobra, if you will. And what is the first thing that Moses does when he sees the supernatural of God? He runs. He runs. And it didn't tell us how God brought him back. We don't know, but God was no doubt saying, "Moses, it's me. Don't be afraid. come back. And Moses comes back and he says, now pick it up. And he had to pick up the thing that he ran from, the thing that he feared the most. He had to pick it up and he picked it back up. And God said, I want you to know that that's me. Listen, God is speaking to some of you this morning. You've been running from the supernatural in your life. And the Lord is saying, it's me. Stop running. Come back and pick it up. Embrace it. I've given it to you as a gift. It's interesting when you see, again, the guys all running and freaking out what they missed in the midst of this. I think a lot of people, because of not understanding the supernatural, a lot of believers, and maybe even, again, I said, some of you in this room, you've been running from some of the things that God's been trying to show you in the supernatural because it doesn't make sense to you. Again, maybe you saw an environment where the gifts of the Spirit were being used and people were using them in a funny way or a wrong way. There wasn't balance. It wasn't being done decently and in order. And so you ran from it and you spent years just saying, well, that must not be for today. That must not be God. That must not be there. Listen, you're missing what God has for you. God has given you these tools to work in your life so that you can be used. I walked with God for a while before I ever received power from God. I knew the Lord. I was saved. I wasn't being a witness. I had no boldness. That stuff wasn't in my life. And I realized that something was missing. And I knew there had to be more. It's interesting. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the Holy Spirit is with you and will be in you. And then later on in Acts, he said, he will come upon you. And when he does, you're going to have power. What we see in the Bible is three different workings of the Holy Spirit. The word there that Jesus used, he will be in you, is the word ian. It means indwelling. And when you give your life to the Lord, you are indwelt. It's done. You're sealed, you're indwelt, you're saved. But then he said he also will be with you. There's a second work of the Spirit. It's the word para. It means he will come alongside you to help you. And then the word that he uses in Acts when he says the Spirit will come upon you is an entirely different word. It's the word epi or ep, and it's something that happens from the outside upon. It's the empowering. And every time you read when the power came upon them, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. You'll see that in the Old Testament. You'll see that in the New Testament. And he came upon them so they would have power to do ministry. When you ask God, I'm not going to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. God, give me power. He will come upon you. And I did that. It changed my life. And when I did that, power came upon me. I was no longer afraid. I was no longer a defeated Christian, still, you know, being held captive in sin. I was now set free, and I had boldness and a new love in my life to be a witness and a testimony for God. It was the great Baptist pastor, Dwight Moody, that said, no pastor should get in the pulpit without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would say no believer should try to do ministry without the empowering of the Spirit. It was the great Methodist pastor, John Wesley, that said, the reason the church in America is not alive is because they've rejected the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the reality is I agree with those men because we need God's power and God has given it. Look, these are tools that God will use in your life. They're not something to be afraid of. Well, Mark, what if there's something demonic there? What if the enemy gets in? Jesus dealt with this in Luke chapter 11 when he said this. He said, look, if you ask for bread from a father, will he give you a stone? If you ask for fish, will he give you a serpent? If you ask for an egg, will he give you a scorpion? It's interesting. Serpent always represents the demonic realm. That is Satan. Scorpions represent the demonic realm. And then he goes on and says this, if you being evil, that is having a sinful nature, wouldn't do that, and you know how to give good gifts to your kids, notice the context, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Don't be afraid of the enemy. If God wants to work supernaturally in your life, don't run off like Moses. Say, this is the Lord. Don't run off like those men around Daniel. Say, God, I recognize you're in the midst of this. God is in control. He's the one doing this. So what is the point? Listen, the bottom line is sometimes people say, Mark, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? And my answer is, I believe everything the Bible teaches. Everything. It's in the Bible. I believe it. And so the bottom line is, why would God give the gifts of the Spirit? Listen, it's not for a showcase. The gifts are not given so somebody can entertain somebody. Why are the gifts given? The gifts are given as tools. You need them to be able to do ministry. There's going to be times where somebody's going to need to be prayed over. They may need to be healed. And God will say, I'll use you in a healing in a supernatural way as you pray for them if you'll allow me to work that way. Don't be afraid of it. Pray for healing. Maybe somebody's going to need to hear a word from God. And God will give you a word of knowledge so that they can hear what they need to hear. And God says, if you'll be open to that, I will use you. Don't run from my power. Embrace it and know that I'm in control. Again, remember, it's all things done, but decently and in order. I think so many people have been so scared away from the supernatural because they've seen things done the wrong way. Just because something is done the wrong way does not nullify its legitimacy. It has to be done the right way and in proper order, and then it's beautiful, and you see the power of God. It changed my life in my walk with God, and it happened after I was a Christian. You need to be aware of that. That's for some of you this morning. You need to ask God to come upon you. You need to ask God to give you power. You need to ask God to remove your fear of the supernatural and to walk in the things of the Spirit. And so again, this is where Daniel is standing firm. It's interesting. You know, people say, well, things are different today. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So the same God that's always existed is the same God that's on the throne today. He didn't change his mind. He's still doing the same things. And so don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. Believe and receive what God has for you, and God will work in your life in a supernatural way. Now, it's also interesting for me to see here the multiple times in this passage here. We're going to get to some more of it next week, but at other places we've seen, whenever Daniel has these supernatural encounters with God, these visions and all this, he loses his strength. It drains him of strength. Now, again, we're probably not going to see God in that kind of way in our life. Maybe we will. That would be exciting. But the reality is that when you are in the midst of spiritual battle, you're going to find yourself drained. You're going to find yourself sometimes in depression. And you're going to find yourself oftentimes even in sickness. Now, not every depression is demonic. Not every sickness is demonic. Not every draining is demonic. Sometimes you need a good night's sleep. Sometimes you just had a flat tire. It's not the demon of flat tires. There's not a demon behind every rock, all right? But we need to learn to recognize, why am I suddenly depressed? What's come over me? Listen, guys, everybody gets depressed. And what I do is when I get depressed, I look at it. Am I just kind of down and depressed for some reason? I'm having a bad moment or a bad time or whatever, this kind of thing. Or is this spiritual? The first thing I want to find out, if it's spiritual, then I can get relief. And how do I do that? You know what I do? I begin to go in the closet and praise God. I go in the prayer closet and just put on worship and begin to praise the Lord. One of the things that the Bible says Jesus came to do, it says that the Lord came to give a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Isn't that beautiful? I say, Lord, I've got a spirit of heaviness. If you've got a spirit of heaviness today, praise the Lord. I don't mean praise the Lord for your spirit of heaviness. I mean, start praising the Lord. Say, God, I want to sing to him. It's amazing what happens. I can go in that situation and be so down and leave so lifted up. There's power. A lot of times it's spiritual battle. And so allow God to do that. There may be some even sickness that you have. Pray against it. Ask for God to heal you of that. If it's something that's spiritual, again, begin to recognize these things. And again, Daniel recognized these. And we see that Daniel was weakened here because of these encounters in the spirit realm. It seems to be a draining factor. And the greater the battle is, the more we're drained. And I can tell you in some of the greatest spiritual battle moments of my life have been the most draining of my life. There have been times even in ministry. I mean, I used to, you know, kind of, it's funny, you know, again, when I was younger again and having all the strength in the world, you know, that is, you think nothing will ever make you tired. And I'd kind of hear people, yeah, I taught several times today and did ministry today, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, well, you stood there and talked. How could you be tired, right? Until I did it. And I realized it's a lot more than standing there and talking. There's a battle going on for some of your souls this morning. And the enemy's fighting me, and he's fighting you. And there's a battle for some of you this morning that God wants you to be encouraged to not give up in prayer because he wants to give you a breakthrough. And they're fighting you, and they're fighting me. And there's some of you this morning that God wants to pour out his spirit on and give you power, to give you freedom and victory and a whole new life, walking in God in the power of the Spirit rather than your own efforts. And he's fighting against you, and he's fighting against me. And God wants a breakthrough. And this is why we have to continue to pray and continue to say, God, I need victory, and you've got to work. You're the only one that's going to be able to do this. And notice what happens in this weakness that comes upon him in the spiritual battle. Look at verse 9. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Again, wiped out, literally laying flat on his face, not just trying to pray to God, but he was just wiped out. He had no strength is what it's saying here. He was so drained by this encounter in the spirit realm. Our bodies are not made to live in the spirit realm. And so notice verse 10. It says, then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And it means as the angel touched him, he was strengthened and he was able to get up on his hands and his knees and now gain strength. And eventually we're going to see, look at verse 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. I love the fact that every time they talk to Daniel, they tell him he's greatly beloved. Isn't that good to be reminded? You are greatly beloved. The Bible says that God's people are greatly beloved. You're called into the beloved of the Lord. And so the Lord would say to you this morning, you are greatly beloved. He wants you to hear that. So he tells Daniel over and over, you're greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And so first he's strengthened enough to get up on his hands and knees. Then he's strengthened enough to stand. And I love this because the Bible says that God's angels are sent to us to minister to us. Did you know that? They are ministering spirits to the saints of God. Angels are ministering to us this morning. Now, it's God's spirit. It's God that's doing it. We don't look to angels. That gets into idolatry. And again, that's false. No, you don't look to angels. You don't pray to angels. You look to God. You pray to God. But even as you're going to, after this service is done, go find another brother or sister and begin to pray for them because they're going to tell you about some situation they're going through. God sends his angels to minister to each of us in this room. And he strengthens us by that through his Holy Spirit. Again, the angels went and ministered to Jesus in the garden and they were strengthened. You know, it's interesting to me when you think about angels. The Bible tells us that as children, everyone has an angel. It says that, you know, Jesus said that the angels in heaven, you know, they see the face of those, the face of their angels are constantly before the Lord. That is the angels of those children. And a theological argument can be made that as you grow up, that angel doesn't leave. He's still there watching over you. He's still that guardian angel that is there helping you. And God puts limits on that. God limits the interaction, you know, doesn't keep you from every stump toe or whatever the case might be. But they're very active in our life. A theological argument can be made that you still have a guardian angel today. Now, if that is the case, I want you to look around the room at the number of angels that are here today. Do you ever think about that? This room is filled with the spirit realm. This room is filled with holy angels. When we were singing a moment ago and the angels cry, in my mind, I didn't really see the angels in here. But in my mind's eye, I know in the teaching today, I could see the angels with their hands raised to God and all the angels like, yeah, you're right, we are praising God. And they're right here in this room with us, praising God as we're praising God together. And every time we come together and worship the Lord, us and our angels are giving praise to God. It's an awesome thing to think about. And it begins to expand our view of the spirit realm. It begins to help us to realize how close the spirit realm is to us, how connected we are to God and connected to the spirit realm, the angels that are around us. And again, so Daniel here, finding the strength to rise, he stands before the angels about to give him this message. And notice what he says here. I love this. This, we talked about it last week, but it needs to be driven home again. Look at verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. I think God would say that to all of us today. Do not fear. Put your name there. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the supernatural. I've been sent by God to show you the supernatural. Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, note that, before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. You moved heaven by your prayer. And I love this. Look what it says. First of all, from the first day he began to pray, God dispatched an angel to help him. And you guys need to realize this. The moment you cry, God hears you. The moment you cry out, the Lord hears you, all right? Well, then why is it that the moment I cry out that nothing seems to happen? You say that God heard me right away, but I'm still in this battle. I'm still wrestling. I'm still locked arm in arm in this wrestling match with the enemy. Why can't I get victory? Listen, sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to answer your prayer. And you need to continue to pray until you hear God say that. Sometimes God says, wait, I'm going to give you that. It's just you need to wait on my timing. And then sometimes God says, you need to pray through, Mark. Don't stop praying. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock when you're calling out to God. It's in the imperfect in the Greek, which means nothing more than this. It's in repetitive form. What that means is, literally in the English, what are we into English? Literally in the English, it means ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. This is what Daniel's doing. He's not letting go. You think about, again, Jacob wrestling the Lord at the Ford Jabbok, and they wrestled all night long, right? And the morning, the Lord said, all right, it's time to go, and he wouldn't let go. He said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Guys, some of you need to grab onto the garment, the robe of the Lord today, and say, you know what, I'm not letting go until you answer me, and I'm going to pray through. This is hard. I'm in a battle. I'm in a struggle. I don't know why it's taking so long, but I'm going to continue to pray through. Listen, another reason that the battle takes so long is the spiritual warfare. It's the opposition. The reason Daniel was heard right away, but the answer didn't come right away, is because there's this demonic realm that's fighting God ministering to Daniel and fighting the angels to get through. You say, again, why would God do that? Why would God allow that? Remember, we talked about it at the beginning. That is, God wants you and I to learn warfare. We have to learn battle. We have to learn to persevere. We have to learn to hang in there. Do not stop. And I believe that God is saying to some of you this morning, do not stop. Continue to pray. And notice this. It wasn't just The fact here of Daniel again, praying to the Lord. Notice it says he set his heart to understand. He had the right understanding. I want to know the answer, God. He set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself to receive. And those are the keys to hearing from God. Setting your heart to understand and then humbling yourself before the Lord so that you can receive from God what he has. And so it's, Daniel, this is why I've been sent. This is the whole purpose. Now look at this. Here's where the insight starts. Here's where the veil really gets pulled back behind the scenes, and we see some exciting things going on in the spirit behind the scenes. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, the bruiser I'll call him, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. What? What is this prince of Persia? That, by the way, that's modern day Iran. What is this prince of Persia? What are the kings of Iran? What's going on here? Listen, this is an angel. This is not men that he's fighting. If this was just a king as a man, or prince as a man, or princes or kings as men, the angel would just blow through them. As a matter of fact, they probably would run off in fear like these other guys did that were around Daniel. No, we're getting insight into fallen angels and spiritual battle. Guys, that's why in Ephesians it says we battle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. And when you read the language, it gives the idea of a military that's broken up in different ranks and different divisions. And what it would appear, the Bible tells us, is that Satan has the limited number that he has stationed around the world and has given them regions to rule over, if you will. Now, God also rules over all things. God has his holy angels. But there is a prince of Iran, and he's there. He had to battle through this prince of Iran. And that's interesting to me because I believe that these demons are still stationed in the places they were. Now, whether or not they're moved around, I don't know. But there's probably still the same prince of Iran that was there today. There's the same kings of Iran in the spiritual realm that are trying to block the work of God as we do battle in the spirit, as we pray to God. And as you look around the earth, you even see some evidence of this. You know, it's been astounding to me to watch some of the atrocities when all these things were being revealed about the war in Syria. They were doing some of the same things, knowing the history of Syria, which the Bible calls Assyria, and seeing some of the atrocities they were doing. The first thing I thought in my mind was, this is exactly what was happening back in the biblical days. They were doing these same kind of horrible tortures back in the Bible. And then it hit me. Listen, you know why? It's the same prince of Syria that's there today that was there thousands of years ago. Why is the Gaza Strip always on fire? Because the same prince of Gaza is still there that's been there for thousands of years. Why are all these areas still just about? Why do you see these areas that have these strongholds? North Korea, the prince of North Korea, the king of China, whatever the case might be. Listen, these are real battles. And if we recognize it, we know how to pray. We can begin to pray against it. We understand what's holding up our prayers. There's battle going on. Listen, there's no doubt a prince or king of America. Now, we haven't seen as much opposition in our nation. Why? Because America was founded on the Bible. America was founded on basic biblical principles. America had churches on every street corner, still does. It's just they're not used as much now. And there were Christians all over this nation for over 200 years that were crying out to God and asking God for help. And yes, we have our sins, and yes, we have our problems, but we were filled with a bunch of believers that were doing spiritual battle, and the demonic realm was held back because of all the angels that were being dispatched by the prayers of the saints of America. But look at what's happened to America. We're not in the same place, are we? We're falling away from God. The churches are emptying out. There aren't as many believers. People are losing faith in the Word of God, the statistics and all these things. And what happens is as the less cries go out to heaven, then the enemy can come in and do more damage. And now we're seeing the King of America, the Prince of America. Now we're seeing America begin to change. We're seeing things come in that our culture would never accept in the past. We're seeing regular norms that have been there for thousands of years being challenged. This is not because of people. It's not because of a governor or a senator or the president or anybody else. These are spiritual forces in the heavenlies that are fighting against us. And if we don't recognize it, we're not going to know how to win the battle. And again, the greatest way we can win the battle is for God to pour out his spirit and send revival to America. Because if God sends revival and the church comes alive and then more people get saved and begin to come into the church, guess what happens? More battle goes up into heaven, more spiritual warfare. The King of America gets pushed back, and then the true King of America can rule and reign once again. Again, guys, look, as we wrap this up today, as we finish looking at this, this has given us some great. We're going to stop here today. That's as far as we're going to go. We're going to finish up. We'll start here next week, and we'll see the battle continue and go right on into chapter 11 with the battle going and some great prophecies that the angel is going to give Daniel as they head into chapter 11. But there's a couple things I want to note here. Number one, some of you are right now locked arm in a wrestling match. and you don't know why you're so exhausted. You're exhausted because you're locked arm in arm in a wrestling match. Ask God to strengthen you. Do not stop praying. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to touch you. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to give you power. Don't be afraid of the supernatural if God wants to work in your life. And do warfare. Fight against the enemy and stand strong. It might be that you're at day 20 of 21 days when God gives you your breakthrough. Don't stop praying now. Be encouraged. Some of you have just now maybe realized that you're in the spiritual battle and you've not been praying. Why am I getting kicked around all over the place? Now I recognize it's a spiritual battle. Start praying. And those of you that have recognized it, continue on. Others, again, I just encourage all of us, continue to pray for God to pour out his spirit to send revival. Here in Knoxville, in the United States, for God to send revival and for God to do a fresh work, because that's the answer to all of this. And again, for some of you, ask for God to empower you today, for God to come upon you. Maybe you've been walking as a Christian for many years and you've been walking in defeat. Why is it that I can't stop that sin? Why is it that I'm defeated over and over? My heart's desire is to be free, but I just can't find the strength. Guess what? You never will. How's that for encouragement? You will never find the strength to be free unless you turn to the power of God. And when you turn to the power of God and say, all right, Lord, you said that there is an empowering I can have. I need your power. Come upon me. Ask God to come upon you and empower you, and your life's going to change. That's how our God works. I want to finish in prayer praying for you first, and then I want to pray for our nation, and I want to pray for God to rebuke the governor of Knoxville or whoever's over Knoxville. Again, if the governor's hearing this, I'm not talking about the literal governor. I'm talking about the spiritual realm and see what God does. Let's pray. Father, we have so many things before us we want to bring this morning. We don't have time really to spend a long time on each of them, but I thank you, God, for showing us behind the scenes in the spiritual realm more of what's going on, God, seeing the battle. And for some of us, the light has come on for the first time. For others, we're just getting a confirmation. It doesn't matter where we are. The reality is we are in the battle, like it or not. And I pray, God, for those right now that are locked arm in arm in a struggle, in that wrestling match, Lord, I ask that right now, God, you would encourage them. I pray that you would lay your hand on them and strengthen them, even as Daniel was strengthened. And God, that you would help them to continue the battle, not to give up, to pray until the breakthrough comes or until an answer from heaven tells them to let go of whatever it is they're crying out to you for. Lord, let them have the heart of Jacob. I will not let go until you bless me. Strengthen them, God. Encourage them. It will come to an end. There will be a victory, but we must persevere. And I thank you, God, for the character and the integrity and the courage that you're building in these battles in all of the hearts of the sweet believers in this room. Thank you, Lord. Encourage them. Build them up. And Father, I pray again for our nation. Lord, the battle that we're in. We think about the heavenlies. Who is the Prince of America? We don't know. One day we most certainly will. But we know, God, that you're the Prince of everything. You're the Prince of the universe. You're the Prince of heaven. And we ask, God, that you would rebuke the demonic realm that's trying to destroy this nation and destroy this planet, God. We know that at some point you're going to remove us and you'll allow this judgment to take place. But until then, God, we pray you would push back the enemy. And we pray, God, you would send revival to your church. God, let it begin here. Let it begin anywhere. Send revival so that the church can be crying out and doing warfare in the heavenlies and moving your mighty angels to do battle. Lord, I pray that you'd send, again, your spirit of revival so that people in our nation could be saved. And we'd see, God, a nation that would turn back to you. One nation under God, Lord, wouldn't just be a slogan, but we'd see a nation united, realizing we need God. We need help. We're being overrun by the spiritual realm. Lord, your word says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a battle standard. God, raise up your battle standard and defeat the enemy and help us to be men and women of prayer. And God, help the church to be a place of prayer. And we're looking to you, God, to do that. So Lord, again, set free those today that need to be set free. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. And God, again, pour out your spirit on those for power who need to be empowered to walk with you in the way you've called them and to fulfill the ministry that you've given them to do. God, we thank you for the work of your spirit this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, you say, you know what, I want to pray through. I don't want to give up, but I feel weak. I feel weakened. The pastors and elders will be up here to pray with you. Come up front, get prayer. And for whatever the reason, know that we're here to pray for you. But guys, continue to pray. Listen, again, continue to pray. I appreciated the other day hearing about those that gathered together to pray for the pastors and their families and the staff. What a blessing that was to hear. I didn't even know that was happening. And then I heard that was happening. What a blessing that is. Listen, I love these spontaneous prayer groups that are rising up. That's a work of the Spirit. And we're going to need more and more of those. We need more and more prayer, especially as the church continues to grow and we move into greater and greater battle. There's going to be more and more opposition. We're not afraid of the enemy. We don't have a spirit of fear. That God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We don't deny that the battle's real. And sometimes with battles, there's casualties. God will see us through those. But be encouraged, be strong, be praying for, again, what God's doing here. Be praying for your families, be praying for the church. Again, I could be almost going to a prayer session now. But either way, if you need prayer, just be up here and we will pray for you. God bless you guys. Let's stand and go out worshiping our God. Now remember, as you're worshiping, you're not alone. You've got your angel giving praise to God as well. So let's worship with the angels.
Church, you guys get home safe. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you back here tonight at 6.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to our live stream. We love and appreciate every one of you. If you're in need of prayer, please call the number on your screen or visit the prayer page on our website and let us know how we can pray for you. If you're into social media, be sure and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel and ring the bell to be notified when we go live or post a new video. And lastly, you can download our church app by going to calvaryknoxville.org/app. Thanks again for watching, and God bless.